Welcome to Digging Deeper, a podcast of Perimeter Church in Atlanta, Georgia, hosted by me, Jeff Norris, along with my co-host, Laura Story Elvington. This podcast aims to equip you to follow Jesus by digging deeper into the teachings and the topics of the Bible and culture and life.
In this season called Believe, we'll sit down with many exciting guests who will help us understand the current and future direction of belief in Jesus in our world today and how we as God's people can engage in God's mission to lead others to believe in Him.
We're excited that you've joined us as we explore the treasures of God's Word and apply its teachings to our lives as followers of Christ. Now let's jump into today's discussion. We are so glad that you've joined us for another episode of Digging Deeper. And in this series, at least, our guests so far have been via technology, Zoom, and so forth. But we have a special, special privilege today, not only because he's in the studio with us, but because he's just going to be an incredible brother to hear from. And so we have with us Pastor Peter. Mm-hmm. And Peter, I'm going to have you say your last name because I know I wouldn't say it correctly. But
Peter Kasirivo.
Kasirivo. Mm-hmm. Nice. And so we're going to call you Pastor Peter.
That is better.
Or Peter K.
That's better.
And man, we are so glad to have you. Here's what we'd love for you to start out with. Mm-hmm. Tell us where you're from.
Yep.
Tell us about your church and your ministry there and just mm-hmm. kind of the introductory, how can our listeners know about Peter?
I am Peter. As you've heard, I come from a country called Uganda in East Africa. Actually, Uganda is a tiny little country. Which is bordered with the Congo, mm-hmm. Rwanda, South Sudan, Tanzania, and Kenya in East Africa. So that's where I come from. And the church that I lead is called Gaba Community Church, yeah. which actually is on the shores of Lake Victoria, which yeah. is mm. our pride. Yes. I always tell people that we have a $1 million view because Lake Victoria is just behind our church. So yeah. that's a blessing for us.
Yeah.
But this church gave birth to a ministry called Africa Renewal Ministries, which ministry is involved in taking care of children. We train leaders. So we have a college that trains leaders, and we have a healthcare ministry and all of that. Mm-hmm. So that's where we come from. And actually, by the way, Gaba Community Church is in the city of Kampala.
Kampala. Okay.
And Kampala is the capital city of the country of Uganda. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Well, I can attest to the $1 million view, not from in person. I will be there in person at some point, Lord willing. Mm-hmm. But I've seen pictures.
You
and
have.
Just from the pictures alone, mm-hmm. from the view from the church, we have a little lake here at Perimeter, and people, you know, some of our offices overlook the lake.
I'm not sure if you can really compare it to Lake Victoria.
It's a puddle compared to what these guys get to look at, and just the beauty of God's creation. It's
Thank
awesome.
Thank you.
And we're so glad you're here.
I'm excited. Yeah. I am very excited to be here. Do you know why?
Oh, go ahead.
Because of all the stories I've heard, but also of the people that I've met who come from this church. But the other thing is, I have come at a time when it's not so cold.
Yeah.
Yes. So I thank God.
What are temperatures in Uganda year round?
You know, we use Celsius, but I would say the average for your, you know,
Fahrenheit
would be around early in the morning, would be in the mid 70s.
Oh, yeah.
And later on in the afternoon, it would be in the mid 80s.
Yeah.
We usually never get to 90s.
Oh, that's
just
not too
every
bad.
Now and
yeah.
then.
Yeah, yeah,
sure.
Yeah. I could live there.
You can. And you're welcome.
Yes. Yes. Well, because summer's here. I mean, it can get cold in the winter, but summers are really hot. Oh, we're in the 90s often. So, and sometimes the 100s, yeah. which is no fun at all.
Yeah. Tell us about the partnership between Perimeter Church and your church.
Yeah.
How did that come about?
How did that come about? We have a friend of ours, actually a ministry partner in California. And one time they were talking to Rani, who is one of your staff members. Mm-hmm. And they said, we have friends in Uganda that you need to connect with.
Hmm.
And I didn't know about Perimeter Church at all. And then Rani reaches out to me and said, I would like to tell you more about us. And I said, okay, I want to hear. And then we started talking about, and then he talked about, you know, Life on Life ministry and and Pastor Randy Pop, and and then I got very interested. And then one thing added to the other, and the next thing was he was on the plane. He came and he never left because he has kept coming. I think it's been a very beautiful journey, but the interest to us was how can we reach our people through this very intentional discipleship?
Yeah.
And I want to say that it's been a very beautiful journey, and it's really changed the way I look at discipleship.
Oh, wow. That's wonderful.
That's so cool.
Sure.
I'd love to for you to share with the listeners about, so Ronnie came and he envisioned you guys kind of to what we do in the training and life on life missional discipleship. Sure. And then Randy came and spoke to a group of pastors. Tell us about those two gatherings, because we were blown away. We do this all over the world, and we've seen many responses and the Lord working, but I'm not sure we've ever seen a response as positive as we saw in Uganda. And I'd love for you to tell about that in terms of how many people showed up and the excitement around it.
Interestingly, because when Rani first came, he said, I'm going to come back with my pastors so that they can tell you more. And then afterwards, we'll see how we can bring Randy. Interestingly, the day he was supposed to bring, I think he was coming up with Pastor
Brian.
Brian and Bill, and something happened. So Randy ended up coming alone.
Yeah, it was just Ronnie by himself,
There was 70 pastors who turned up. And he ended up being a preacher that day, which was great, interesting. And
he did great.
He did great. And then when he shared, of course, he also shared some videos and a lot of information that talks about this. My leaders, and I'm saying my leaders, talking about my fellow pastors, they said, we want this. The next thing was Randy Pope came. And when he came, we had a full house.
Yeah.
We had about, I would say about 400 leaders.
It's amazing.
Yes, 400 leaders from 130 churches. And these are different denominations, people that I have been connected with. I'm part of what we call the Evangelical Fellowship of Uganda. Mm-hmm. So we invited them. And because of the first 70 people who attended, then we ended up with a full house.
Wow.
Oh, we had a great time.
Yeah. And I'm going to look off camera real quick because Ronnie's in the room. Ronnie, you're not on the mic, so nobody's going to hear you, but we've never had a response like that in any country, right?
You know, we have not had a response for a while because we have been going to hot places like China.
Right.
But that one was like beyond.
Yeah.
And by the way, the numbers is not 400 and 130. Those are the ones who wanted to join our workshops.
Yeah.
The number who came, I know because I'm the logistics guy with his executive pastor. We had 220 churches.
Yeah. 220
churches.
220.
900 leaders.
900 leaders, 220 churches. The numbers that he said is who actually signed up wanted to do it. Yeah.
Wow. Those were the ones we said we cannot train all those.
Wow. That's amazing.
It's incredible.
Wow.
So all to say what Ronnie will tell us and has told us is that we know the Lord does the work. But those people were there because you gathered them. You are the one that is really the glue, the one that we're just seeing the Lord use you in magnificent ways. So thank you, brother, for what you're doing and in your ministry there.
Thank you for the opportunity.
Yeah, yes. Absolutely. So Peter, I'm curious, with Life on Life missional discipleship, how did that impact you personally?
You know, as I told you my age, I'm at a time in my life where I feel that God is calling me to spend more time with young, upcoming leaders. And I've been a pastor for 35 years, and I feel that God is calling me to spend more time investing in those young pastors who are starting up, those who are saying, I want to reach more, I want to go farther. So Life on Life training actually opened my eyes to the reality of having life on life with these emerging leaders. And the model is so, so practical. Because I've always been asking myself, how do I mentor? How do I disciple? How do I spend time with these people? So that's been a big eye-opener for me as an individual. And my desire now, you know, our network has about 1,000 churches all over the country.
Wow.
So, and amongst them, I see a few of these who are the future leaders of leaders.
Yeah. Yeah.
So my desire now is to pick a few at a time mm-hmm. and work with them using the life on life model. So I can't wait to start because it's so exciting for me.
Awesome.
Oh, yeah. That's amazing. So when you think about a picture of the future, what would you like to see maybe 5-10 years from now with specifically in the area of life on life discipleship?
What I would like to do, one is, there's something I didn't tell you. I am one of the leaders of the Evangelical Fellowship of Uganda.
Okay.
And then over the years, we have also been involved in working with other nations around us. So what I would like to see is, would like to work with your church to actually spread this through the network of churches that we're involved with. That's what I would like to see. Mm. I would like it to grow from the city of Kampala to the rest of Uganda.
That's so awesome.
Using the relationships that we already have. The other part is to invite my pastor friends from other countries in Eastern Central Africa to actually be part of this. Mm. Because there's something that you probably have heard, that the church in Africa is a mile wide and an inch deep. Mm. That reality is a reality. Mm. And because it's so real, we find so many people coming to church, but they don't have any depth.
Yeah.
So Life on Life is showing me how to actually disciple the people that they'll go deeper. So I would like to work with you guys to make sure that we connect with other nations, that this will also grow there. Because when I'm being helped, I would like other people to be helped like I have been helped.
That's great. Well, yeah. And one of the things, I had the privilege of visiting some of our partners in Malaysia this past year. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that they commented on was that there's a lot of curriculum out there. There's a lot of resources out there. But the thing that they found out about Life on Life missional discipleship that we do here at Perimeter is that there are actually people that are walking them through this. There are people that are coming to Uganda and not just saying, hey, here's some resources, but let me show you how this worked for us. Here's ways that it didn't work for us. Here's ways that we failed. And so hopefully you're finding not just resources, but a true partnership there.
Yeah. Thank you.
And the thing that, you know, what we hear and what you just shared is, it's not so much, oh, this is awesome. Our material and our training and so forth is expanding, because it's not about us. And that is, it's like, I hear that and I go, praise God, that means that disciples are being made and that we're helping. We get to be a small part of helping the Lord's work in deepening the faith of those, you know, bringing them to faith. Yes. And the language we use here is that making disciples, that's evangelism, and training disciples, which is that process of going deeper so that the people of God aren't an inch deep and they become multipliers. Mm-hmm. They begin to turn around and do it with others. And so, man, that the model and the method of Jesus is what we're trying to replicate. And gosh, what a joy for us to get to be a part of that.
And I'm so excited because, as you said, it's not just a curriculum, but it is how to get people to be discipled.
Yeah.
Yes.
The how has been a big challenge.
Yeah.
The curriculum has been there. We've read all kinds of, we talk a lot about discipleship, but doing discipleship has been a very difficult journey for me personally. Mm-hmm. And I believe the rest of my brothers in Africa.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm praise God that we get to be a part of helping that hopefully become a different story.
Mm-hmm. Thank you so much. Yeah. I'm excited about the future, for sure.
So this podcast series we've been doing, this little 6-week series we've been doing, is coinciding with what we're teaching on Sunday mornings as we work through the book of John.
Oh, yeah.
And the theme, the overwhelming theme is, in the book of John, is belief.
Believe.
To believe upon the Lord. Mm-hmm. You know, the word belief shows up over 70 times in the in that gospel. And so we're just curious about, okay, we have this unique privilege to have a conversation with a brother in Christ, leading for the kingdom of God, building the kingdom mm-hmm. of God in a very different part of the world. What are you seeing there that might be different from what we're seeing here? Because here's the landscape in America.
Okay.
A couple of guests that we've had on so far have been helping us understand what may sound, mm-hmm. you know, and is at some level discouraging. Because in America, there's this thing happening that some have termed the great de-churching, people leaving the church, especially the younger generation.
Yeah.
And in some ways, it's very alarming. We've also discussed how, in other ways, it's kind of a good thing in the sense that the people that are at church mm-hmm. now are the ones that really want to be there.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, that you don't play church anymore like some people used to, where mm-hmm. it was more cultural than it was transformative. Tell us about Uganda. What's God doing in Uganda? Do you see a lot of people believing upon Christ there? And, you know, I don't think you're seeing the mm-hmm. same thing we're seeing with a lot of people leaving church, but I could be wrong. What's the landscape there in Christianity?
Interesting, because I would say people are very hungry for God mm-hmm. in my country. Very, very hungry for God. Mm-hmm. More so in the recent past. Yeah. Of course, we had some little challenges with COVID, yeah. like any other
right.
Part of the world. But I would say there is hunger. And for us, the most interesting thing is the young people.
Mm. Mm.
The young people.
That's great.
I am 63 years old.
No, you're not.
Yes, sir, I am.
Okay. If you're only listening to this and you're not watching,
yes,
I'm telling you, you could have 400 guesses as to how old Peter is, and you would never guess 63. You would stay in the 30s and 40s.
I should have left you in the guesswork. People of my age are very few in the church, but people who are younger are more in our church. I would say
that's fascinating.
That's right. 80% of the people in our church would be 30 years and below.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. And
that's a little different than America.
Yeah. So there is, if you attended, we hold something in our church. It's called Campus Night.
Mm-hmm.
We gather together young people in college. You just need to be in that place. The excitement, the joy, mm-hmm. the fire, wow. the passion just gets you going.
I can imagine.
Gosh. Oh, yeah. So I would say, God is moving and is moving among us, the young people.
Mm.
And what more? That's what we want.
It's beautiful.
It's amazing. Yeah.
So I would say God is moving in Africa. But also I would say the church is generally young, which is beautiful too. But also has problems too.
Yeah.
Because there are few fathers like me. Mm-hmm. So we need fathers.
Mm.
Hmm. What do you think is the most attractive thing about Christianity that is bringing so many young people to church?
I would say, of course, we have issues. We have poverty. So they're saying, where's the hope?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They're frustrated with the way politics is. Mm-hmm. So they're saying, what is going on here?
Mm-hmm.
They are seeing a lot of corruption in the people who are in leadership, you know, political leadership and all that. They're saying, we don't like what we are seeing.
Yeah.
We want to see a difference. Mm. So I would say it's like a searching for reality, a searching for hope. So, and they're finding that in the church.
That's great.
So to me, that's very exciting to see that they're hungry, they're searching. And if they can find a place where there's hope, they're willing to go all the way. Mm. So to me, that's very exciting.
Yeah.
Of course, we have our own challenges, but at least the young people are the hope for the nation for now. Mm. Yeah.
I want to circle back to what you said a second ago about fathers. Is that something that's pretty prevalent within Ugandan culture, at least in the past, where a lot of children being raised without fathers. And then, so therefore there's a great need, and there that need is being met in the church. Is that accurate mm-hmm. to say?
Yeah, it is. Of course, we've had a number of issues. In the past, as a nation, we've had civil wars. Mm-hmm. Then we had the HIV/AIDS epidemic, mm-hmm. which was a big problem. And then we have a system, a culture system of polygamy. So combined to that, you find less men actively in society yeah. than you find women. Mm. So that's so that becomes a problem where, you know, for example, just to give you an example, my wife and I have raised more than 20 young people besides our four. We have four.
Wow.
20 young people in our home.
That's amazing.
And a number of these are young people in the church, and you feel you need to do something for them. So we invite them in our home. So they live with us for 5-6 years, and then we release them when they grow. Many are married now. We've taken a number of them to school. And when these young people first come to us, usually they come as teenagers, mm. the first thing they say, I've never had a father in my life. Now you are my father. Mm. So when you walk around in my church, I have so many people call me father. Mm. I have so many little kids running around calling me grandpa because they needed that and they found that in a pastor. So that's the same with the rest of my other fellow pastors, you know, and also the older men in the church. They're finding themselves being fathers to many of these fatherless young people in our church.
That's amazing. So this is the fourth episode in our series, and I think it was back in the second when we talked to Grace Otanto. Mm. And even though the issues in the United States and in Uganda are very different as far as what's facing the church and in the state of the church, mm. one of the things he talked about was that sharing your faith begins around the dinner table.
Wow.
So it's interesting to see that truly is, that's the same. Wherever you go, it's sure. there's this part of, it's not necessarily having the answers as much as it's opening your home and being willing to care for people. Mm. That's an amazing story to think about you opening your home to over 20 children.
It's just awesome.
Thank you.
So Pastor Peter, you mentioned poverty. You mentioned the poverty in Uganda. Mm-hmm. So how does your church respond? What are things that you're mm-hmm. doing in your church that are really showing Jesus' heart for the poor?
That's a very deep question. That's the best way I would say. But what our church has done over the years is to respond to the needs as they've come. And one of the ministries we have is a ministry to the children. And we serve children all the way from little babies up to the bigger kids. Mm. But one of them is the baby's home. We call it Loving Hearts Baby's Home. And this was a response. Long time ago, we started what you would call a child care center. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then our team... One time they were there and someone brought a baby that had just been picked from a dump. Mm. And this is a daycare, so we don't have housing for them. So they tried to help the kid, has been exposed for a very long time. So they took the baby to the hospital and the baby died. Mm. So when they shared this story with me, It was so touching to me because I never, you know, I've been a pastor for a long time. Mm-hmm. I never thought that people would dump babies mm. on dumps. So then, long story short, we said, no, we need to do something for the children. So again, God in his own way created that opportunity and we partnered with some people and we started a baby's home. Since we opened that home way back in 2007, we have had more than 450 babies that have come in and have gone out. And our vision is to have a loving home, Christian home, opening up to provide a family for this child. Mm. And I would say it's been one of the beautiful experiences we've had. So at any one time, there is at least 30 of them. But over the years, we've sent these babies to different homes. Actually, we have about 46 of our children in America somewhere. 46 of
Good
them.
Grief.
In America somewhere. But
praise God.
That's yeah. beautiful.
One of the things we've learned just in hearing about your church is that all the ministries that you guys have started and run out of the church, and in some ways, there's Perimeter can be similar in that way. And so, you know, maybe some of our listeners can think of Gaba Church as you know, kind of like a Perimeter Church in Uganda. However, what you just shared is blowing my mind because essentially you guys are running an adoption agency out of your church, which is just unbelievable. I'm just kind of in awe of that and blown away and praising God.
But you know, Pastor, is when you start seeing these, see them as little babies, when you see them 10 years later, and you see how beautiful they are, that's a very rewarding thing. Mm. I look at these kids running around. This, you know, you'll be seeing Dr. Martin, and they adopted a little boy. Now the boy is, I think, should be around 10 now. But when you look at this boy, you say, okay, if we didn't do this home, this boy would not be running around here. Mm. It's a very beautiful experience to see these kids or these babies rescued, but then becoming responsible citizens somewhere.
Yeah.
God is good.
Yeah. It's worth all the effort. It's worth all the tears. It's worth all the money. Mm-hmm.
God is good.
It's worth it.
Thank you.
I'm sitting here thinking about how on the surface, of course, I can only imagine if in Uganda, it's going to feel very different, but the heart cries are the same.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, to think about the younger generation here in America, some of the very same things you are expressing is what's being expressed here. People are fed up with politics here. People feel like you can't trust people in positions of power in the government here. People are also, we have a significant issue with men not leading in the home and fatherless and so forth. I mean, you know, so it is going to be, it's going to look and feel different, but the heart level longings are still there.
Yeah. Yeah.
The longing to belong and be loved by a man of God is still there. And the longings are being met in the church, in the people of God, as imperfect as we are, but we're pointing them to the perfect one, Jesus.
Yeah.
That's right.
So, you know,
who is that father who never leaves?
That's right.
And we get to model that type of parent to
totally.
People.
Dependent on him, not on us. All right, let's go back to just a very basic question that maybe we probably should have led with, which is, when did you first believe? When did you come to faith?
Interesting. I grew up in the Anglican church.
Okay.
My parents were going to the Anglican church. I don't know if the Anglican church
is
here.
Yeah. So that is a very big, outside church in Uganda. It's about 30%.
Mm-hmm.
And we have 40% Catholics.
Oh, really? Okay. Yeah.
So when I was growing up, I would say I was going to church, but I didn't have a close relationship with Jesus.
Yeah.
So when I was I was out, say, 19, a friend of mine shared the faith with me, which was very interesting because I grew going to church. Then my mother got an experience with Jesus and she became born again. She accepted Jesus.
Wow.
So she shared the faith with me. And I kind of smiled and laughed. I said, I think that's for old people. You know, it's not for me. So then a friend of mine accepts Jesus, and he was sharing with me, and he told me, you know what, I have, in Uganda, we call it getting saved.
Yeah.
You know?
Yep.
So I got saved. I said, what happened? He said, you know what, I felt a friend of mine shared the gospel, and I felt I really need to get my way right with Jesus, and I'm now excited. I saw the excitement, which was so beautiful. Mm. And I remember what my mother had shared with me. And I said, okay, this is what I always needed, but I didn't know that it's for young people. So I accepted Jesus when I was 19 years old.
Yeah.
And it's been a very beautiful journey ever since. And
these last 12 years have been amazing. Aren't you only 32 or 30, 31? So, yeah.
40. Jeff can't get past how young you look.
Yes, I always, when I'm talking, like I told you, our church is very young. So I tell them, I've been walking with Jesus for the last 43 years. And then, I always tell them, before most of you were born.
Yes.
And they all laugh and say, okay, you're old. That's what they say.
You know, I don't think I tried to make a joke and I didn't do the math right. I said, he said 19. I said, these last Jeff. 12 years. And then I said 32. You know, this is why I'm a pastor.
I was going to not call you out on that.
So, Laura, what are you, I know you always have great questions. What are some more that you would have for Peter?
Well, it's interesting that you, first became a Christian through the ministry of the Anglican Church, because I remember it was years ago, the very first Anglican Church I ever attended here in the States was a plant from a church in Africa.
Oh, cool.
It's kind of neat to see, to see the, just how we're sending, discipleship resources to Africa and Africa sending church plants to the U.S. It's just a beautiful picture of the kingdom.
Well, and I'll just interject to say this. It's really good for us to remember, by the way, us being American Christians,
yes.
that Christianity has been in Africa 10 times longer than Christianity has been in America.
It actually didn't start here.
Like, we can get pretty self-centered about, we're the Christian country or whatever. Like, you know, good grief, Augustine and so forth. Africa is so critical to the gospel going to the world in church history. So anyway, I just had to say that.
So my question would be, what does it look like to be a Christian in Uganda? Mm. And so is it something, is there daily persecution that believers would face? Or is there someone who is a Christian, what does that look like in their workplace? Mm. Is that a common thing? Are people antagonistic towards it?
And It would be individual by individual, but I would say that generally speaking, Uganda is a free country when it comes to faith.
Mm-hmm.
It's a free country, and what I've found is that we coexist with each other. So I would say Christians and non-Christians, they generally are not like fighting each other.
That's great.
But it depends on the family you grew up in. For example, if your family was a Muslim family and you become converted, most likely they will kick you out of the family.
Yeah.
They would say you no longer belong.
Mm-hmm.
If the family was Catholic and you accepted Jesus and you say, now I'm an evangelical, they'll probably kick you out.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they will not like beat you up or do whatever, but they will say, you are no longer part of the close part of us as a family. Mm. That's what you normally get.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't have like violence between, faith, not so much. So when you accept Jesus, usually people would say you're different.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
They may criticize you, but they will probably not fight you.
Yeah.
That's what I would say.
Yeah.
So what we find is, because of that freedom, we have the opportunity to share our faith wherever we are. So if you came to our city, you are going to find some people stand on the street with a little speaker or with no speaker, with a Bible, and trying to invite people to come to faith. You're going to find that. We have schools where people will freely share the faith. If a teacher is a Christian, before he starts a class, he'll say, by the way, before we start, I'm going to pray.
Hmm.
Now, this is a school which is not Christian.
Yeah.
But he will say, let me pray for you. Or if he's teaching, he will stop and say, by the way, this is what the Bible says about this issue.
Hmm.
And no one will fight we'll fight you.
Gosh, now, that's cool.
In the same way, if the teacher is a Muslim, he may tell you a little bit about his faith.
Yeah. As yeah.
So we have that freedom of worship, which actually helps us to still preach and share the faith. And I always tell people, let's do it because we don't know what the future holds.
Yes.
Because one day, maybe we don't have that freedom to
right.
share.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, sure.
That's pretty incredible.
Yeah.
I mean, mm-hmm. you probably know this, but you can't do that here in the States.
That's what I understand. Yeah. And I just wonder, because you say, in God we trust.
Yeah, it's on our coins. Yeah.
But
beyond
what,
that, it, yeah.
That's
yeah.
what I never understand.
It is
understand.
A little tricky, yes.
Yeah. yeah.
We don't be, either. It's okay.
Can be confusing, for sure.
Yeah.
There's religious freedom here. To an extent,
yeah.
right? And so there's different things we can't do. And one of those is you can't bring your faith into the school, at least in a public way, of course, you know.
So. It is so strange because yeah. in Uganda, when parliament is meeting, mm-hmm. they start with a word of prayer.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. They start with a word of prayer. And mm. of course, our president is a nominal Christian and his wife, she is a believing Christian. So because of that, we have that opportunity to do whatever we want yeah. to do for now. Yeah. So we thank God for that.
We'll wrap up here just for the sake of time. This has been so good to talk with you. By the time that this is being, you know, shared on our podcast, you will have already preached at Perimeter for our Global Sunday. And so a lot of our Perimeter listeners will have already heard from you and been blessed by your teaching.
Thank you.
And so I can preemptively say thank you for what you preached.
Yes.
That sentence doesn't make sense, but, so you've already encouraged our people in that way.
Thank you.
But what would you say to them, to the American Christian listening to this podcast? It may not be anything different than I would share with them, mm-hmm. but I just want to give you that opportunity to just say, hey, here's a way I would want to encourage you in your faith.
Yeah. Whenever I think about America, I see a country that has been known for being a country of faith.
Mm-hmm.
It's been known a country that has sent missionaries around the world. And because of what you've done, I would say we as nations are thriving.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
My discouragement and disappointment is that America is slowly drifting away
yeah.
from the values that made America great. Yeah. And those values are the value of faith, yeah. or being passionate for the gospel.
Yeah.
So my encouragement to the brothers and sisters here at this church at Perimeter is that do not go with the flow of society.
That's
Remain
great.
Faithful to what God says in His Word. To me, that's very, very important. Two, do not lose your missionary passion, because what you've done over the years has actually made the world better. I look back as a person from my country. I speak this language not because the British ruled Uganda, but because the missionaries came to my country about 140 years ago. Mm. And they brought schools. They taught us how to read and write because they wanted us to read the Bible.
Yeah.
Wow.
So the missionary experiences are still what has made Africa what it is today.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I would say, do not slow down. Keep doing it. Keep doing it. Keep sending missionaries and keep coming over to us and support
Amen.
What we mm-hmm. do for the glory of God.
Amen.
That's my call and that's my prayer. And the Bible is still as powerful as it has ever been.
Yes.
The gospel has never changed its power. Let us continue being faithful to the one who called us.
Yep.
That's my call.
The Lord is building His church. The kingdom is coming
mm-hmm.
on earth as it is in heaven.
That's
all
right.
Throughout the world. And I, just to tag on to that, that was beautiful. I would say to our people, go on our short-term mission journeys. We call them Go Journeys. Mm-hmm. Go on those for a couple of reasons. One, to be a part of what Pastor Peter's talking about, which is be a part of spreading the gospel, be mm-hmm. a part of bringing the good news to those who haven't heard, as my mic falls. be a part of that. Be a part of being the hands and the feet and the voice of Jesus.
Mm.
But then one of the best things, and some of you have heard me say this before, one of the best things you can do is go to another part of the world and engage with Christians there.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Watch how they walk with Jesus in their context. Learn from them what it looks like to follow Jesus in their country, and you will be so blessed.
Yeah.
You will be so challenged. You'll be so encouraged. And it's good for us. Mm. We can get in our American bubble and start defining Christianity based on our cultural norms, and that can be really unhealthy. And we get out of that and we see, okay, there's a lot that I've been doing that's more based on my culture than it is on following Jesus.
Yes.
Mm.
And so I want to see how these people follow Jesus, and it's going to challenge me to get out of those comfort zones.
Mm-hmm.
So that's my little spiel there.
Yeah, absolutely. So. And whether you're a perimeter person or not, if you go to our website, perimeter.org, to our global outreach page, there's yep. ways that you can pray, there's ways you can give, and there's ways you can join us.
Yep.
You can join us on one of these trips.
Right. They're all listed there. All the Go Journeys are listed.
Yeah, and, yeah. I've met people that are not from our church that have just been looking for a church that's kind of mobilized and going and doing, and we'd love to have whoever. Thank you so much for being with us
yes.
today. It's exactly what Jeff said. I mentioned to you before we jumped on the podcast that I had an opportunity to be in Africa this past year.
Yeah.
And it truly was one of the greatest encouragements mm-hmm. to my faith.
Oh, that's exciting.
To my sense, I came back with a newer sense of gratitude
mm.
of, you know, partly for everything I have here, but also for kind of what the Lord is doing all over the world, yeah. a bigger picture. And you being here and just sharing stories with us, it was that same sense.
Thank you for
being with us.
I've enjoyed my time, and I'm excited to see what God has for us as, you know, as partners. But I'm also excited to know that in the midst of all the challenges, there are Bible-believing churches in America. The gospel is growing in many places.
Mm.
So to me, that's exciting.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, I look forward to coming and visiting you sometime in the next few years.
We're going to get you there.
I want to be there.
Ronnie's going to be on your
test. He will make sure. He will make sure.
Hey,
I'm
and
there
if Jeff can't
soon.
Go, I'm always go. Available.
Laura, you're in. My backup.
Yeah. Oh, I would well, love
that's
it.
The thing. We need Laura to get down there and lead worship.
We actually loud. We jump. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Wow. There's.
It's
oh,
just like perimeter. We no.
Close.
Hey, thank you for joining us on this episode, and I hope you'll stick with us for these couple more that we have mm-hmm. in this series, and then we'll be doing another series down the road. But thanks for tuning in with us, and hope to see you on one of our Go Journeys.